There is much to be delighted by in Fairway to Hell, a new book by former Sports Illustrated writer Franz Lids. There is, for example, Lids pursuing the heart of golfness on a course in Zambia. There is Lids playing polar golf on a course where there are no greens because everything is white. And there is the story of the day Lids played golf with some nudists. I asked him to tell me something about that, but not too much.
Well, my wife had suggested that I do a story on a nudist colony. So I Googled golf courses and nudism, and I found this one south of Kissimmee, Florida. And I went down there, and they were having a pitch and putt tournament. For some reason, the longer I was there, the more and more layers of clothing I found myself putting on. And when I'm walking around this course, they served the golfers chili, which I thought was a dangerous lunch to have. The problem was that everything that was said, well, it wasn't a problem for me, but everything that was said was either a double entendre or possibly even a single entendre, going from the golfer's swing to their shafts to their strokes. And
It just gets worse and worse, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does.
Would you please read the opening sentences of Chapter 14?
Yes, I will. It's, here it goes. Jim Reed doesn't wear his bulletproof vest to bed anymore, but he still keeps a bowie knife hidden in his boot, a Colt 45 stashed in his Corvette, and a 9mm Beretta concealed somewhere on his body. I prefer the 9mm Beretta to my .380 Beretta, Reed says. The 9mm holds 16 bullets. The .380 only holds 13. In my line of work, you can never be too sure.
And that line of work would be?
For a living, he finds and sells golf balls that have been hit into ponds and into the woods all over golf courses in Florida.
So this is the kind of line of work that you need to defend yourself? You have to be heavily armed to participate in this line of work? This seems quite unlikely to me.
Yes, it's a dangerous profession, and James Bond, of course, had his own Beretta, but nothing was as perilous as looking for golf balls and diving into the drink, you know, fending off alligators and pulling out old 8-track tapes that have been buried for 32 years.
Well, it's partly fending off alligators and other wildlife, but I gather from that essay it's also fending off other people going after the same treasures.
Yes, there are all kinds of scavengers on golf courses. You've got to defend yourself and protect your turf. That's the important thing. Of course, the turf is on the golf course, but even where there isn't turf, you've got to protect, you know, the muck.
This might be the appropriate time for you to tell the story presented in Chapter 16 of how golf saved your life.
Well, when I was a kid, I was an aficionado of Death by Falling Bus, which is basically those little paragraphs you used to read in newspapers about bus drivers making a left-hand turn off a right-hand cliff in the highlands of Peru or Ecuador. And I used to collect these little paragraphs, sort of like a fan of baseball would look at old boxscores. When I was in college, I was actually going through Peru, Colombia, Bolivia, and I was on one of these buses, which were packed kind of like the stateroom in Night at the Opera, the Marx Brothers film. And there would be, I don't know, 55 people packed in a bus that was meant to seat 32. The side of the road was about 1 foot wide and about 8,000 feet down. And this guy started trying to pass the bus in front of us. Of course, there was no lane to pass in, so we had to sort of squeeze or muscle him off the road. All of a sudden, he pulls on the gear shift, and it came off in his hand. So we're flying along this road, and this woman sitting next to me who's just packed to the gills with all sorts of paraphernalia and pots and pans, pulls out a putter, some old like Sears putter that she had in there, and handed it to the bus driver very nonchalantly. He jammed it into where the gear shift once was and just went into third, and we roared into home.
Saved! One of my favorite essays is the one titled The Rocket Cart, but that's not an essay about golf at all. If I have it right, it's just a self-defense manual for people who've received email from Nigeria, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd been getting all these Nigerian banking scam mails. I figured, you know, I'm going to write back to this guy. And well, one of them was just so absurd, I had to write back because he said he had $12 million that he had access to because somebody had a millionaire in Nigeria had an accident on a golf course and died in the golf cart and left his fortune. So I started writing back to him, and we had this whole conversation that was built up. At the midway point, I figured maybe I can get money out of this guy. So I asked him for about $8 million so that my half-brother could build a rocket golf cart.
One of the more remarkable things about that piece is that you start writing him back in very much the same vernacular. you lose your command of English as you begin communicating with this man.
We had a certain solidarity in that sense, and I wanted to try to speak or write in his vernacular that sometimes includes stringing out seven commas in a row and having inverted exclamation points. That's a way Nigerian bank spammers write for some reason. And, you know, I strung him out for a long time.
You maintain that the toughest course in the world is the Konkola Golf Club in Zambia. What makes that course so tough?
Well, you know, there are 15 holes that are guarded by live crocodiles. It was an old colonialist course in Zimbabwe. When the British actually ran the country, they had flecked the landscape with these golf courses, which kind of fell into disrepair when they left. And they still exist, and there's still some old colonials hanging around. There's a rogue hippo that if you don't watch your back, you're liable to be steamrollered by this thing. Even in the 19th hole, the clubhouse, they have Zambrews, which are the local beer. And if you turn them upside down, you're supposed to look for the floaters, which are the little bugs that were that got in there while it was being packaged. And they actually have insect larvae as the snacks.
Mm.
So it's a very exotic course in every respect.
So that was harder than playing golf among the ice floes in Alaska?
Well, it was certainly more challenging. With Konkola, when a golfer would shank one into the drink, he'd send in his caddy, give him the equivalent of maybe a penny or something, to go fetch the ball, and the caddy would come out maybe 10 or 15 pounds lighter, missing various body parts. That, I think, is a greater hazard than playing, as I did with my daughter, in Alaska, where we're just sort of whacking balls off glaciers. I mean, the problem there is that there are no greens, everything is whites, and the only thing really blue were the balls. I'm talking about my own, but it's a different set of circumstances, I would say.
I suppose for fans of hard rock music, you should explain the origin of the title of this collection of essays.
I went down to Biloxi, and I heard that Judas Priest, the old British heavy metal band, was down there, and that the two lead guitarists were golf nuts. So I kind of met them on the course, and they were completely a blotto from a night of rock and revelry. But at the same time, they were wearing polo shirts and chinos. They had foot joys on, and they would gently tamp their divots back. It was a very polite way to play, I thought, for these heavy metal guys who were excoriated years ago by Tipper Gore for their lyrics. And the funny thing was that word had gotten out that they're on the course. These 14 and 15-year-old kids, most of them in dog collars, were hiding behind trees, just looking at their heroes play golf and expecting that the fairways would be scorched with lightning bolts that say, keep out Judas Priest. Well, we're walking off the course, and one of these 14-year-old kids yell out, "Y'all Judas?" And one of the players said, "No, he's among the disciples behind us."
I've read the book carefully enough so that I think I know the answer to my final question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Do you like golf?
Well, that's not actually a complicated question. When I was growing up, the only person I knew who played golf was the father of a friend of mine who is this self-inflated gas bag of a dry cleaner. And I tended to think of golf as this mirthless, just self-absorbed game. I mean, that's the reason I wrote the book, because I wanted to see if there's anybody who's having fun at it. I was just trying to find somebody or characters or situations that lent themselves to fun or humor or something different than the Tiger Inc. mentality that the pro golf tour has right now. My problem was years ago I read a quote by Jack Renner, who was then a PGA player, and he said his whole aim was to go through 18 holes without ever changing his expression. And I said, this is a terrible sport. But I actually, searching around, found people who got some enjoyment out of the game.
Franz Liszt is the author of Fairway to Hell, Around the World in 18 Holes. It's published by ESPN Books, and he joined me from WHYY in Philadelphia. Thank you very much for speaking with me.
Oh, thanks a lot.
My conversation with Franz Liszt about his new book, Fairway to Hell, will be featured on Saturday's program. I'll also be taking up the subject of sports blogs with one of the bloggers and with one of the authors who's most unhappy with how those bloggers operate. I'll have an update of the NBA playoffs, of course, and our baseball guy, ESPN's Tim Kirkjian, will try to explain to me how the Devil Rays and the Marlins have ascended to the top of the Major League heap. We'll hear from some U.S. tennis players who've been number one in the world on the current status of the game in this country, and don't bet we won't have something to say about poker camp. So join us, and remember, you can always listen to the show at onlyagame.org.